Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing this morning? Hey, Dean. Man, it's great to see you. I really appreciate Dean. One more time. Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? Awesome. There's a lot of room at the altar. We got about a lot of room up here. So if you want to come on up, we'll appreciate it. Because we love feeling close to you guys. All right? So we're going to praise. And if you know the song, come on and sing it. All right?
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Whoa, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him.
Come on and sing that out if you believe it. Say,
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him. Whoa, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising.
Say, I feel like clapping my hands.
I feel like clapping my hands.
Come on and sing that out. I feel like it.
I feel like clapping my hands. Whoa, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like clapping my hands.
Cause there is.
And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of.
Come on, let me hear you sing that.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Come on and sing victory.
Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Come on and sing that again. Say,
victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Come on and sing, joy is mine.
Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Joy today is mine.
Come on, I feel like.
I feel like praising Him.
Come on, sing it with everything you got. Say,
I feel like praising Him.
Sing, oh.
Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising Him.
Come on and sing that again. Say, I feel like.
I feel like praising Him. I feel like praising Him.
Sing,
oh. Oh, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising.
Sing praise Him.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
For everything He's done.
Praise.
For everything He's going to do.
Sing
praise Him. Yeah, yeah. One more time, say
praise Him. Praise Him.
Last time I felt that.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
Come on and give God praise if you want. Nah, there's more than four people in here. Come on and give God praise. Come on and give God praise like you know it. Sing this with me.
Say, you are Alpha and Omega.
You are Alpha and
wow.
Omega.
You're the beginning and the end.
You're the beginning
And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'll praise your name. I'll praise your name. You are Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, I'll praise your name. I'll praise. The beginning and the end. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Say, I'll praise your name. Yes, I'll praise your name. You are Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. Yes, I'll praise your name. Hallelujah. Holy, holy. You are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Holy, holy. Lord, you are worthy of our praise. Say, hallelujah. Holy, holy. You are worthy. Of our praise. Hallelujah. Holy, holy. But you are worthy of our praise. So when we say hallelujah, you know that that means that we're giving him the highest praise, right? So literally, hallelujah means highest praise. So when we sing this next part, I just want you to keep in mind that you're giving him the highest praise that your voice can make, okay? All right, so repeat after me. Say, halle, halle, hallelujah.
Halle, halle, hallelujah.
Say, halle, halle, hallelujah.
Halle, halle, hallelujah.
Say, halle, halle, hallelujah.
Halle, halle,
hey. And I'll praise your name. Yes, I'll praise your name. Yes, I'll praise your name, hallelujah, holy, holy, Lord, you are worthy of our praise, hallelujah, holy, holy, Lord, you are worthy of our praise, come on. Hallelujah, holy, holy, Lord, you are worthy. Of our praise, hallelujah, holy, holy, Lord, you are worthy of our praise. Come on and sing it out. Say, halle, halle, hallelujah.
Halle, halle, halle.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. on and lift your voices. Lift your hands. Come on and give God the highest praise today. We just sang hallelujah, lifting him high. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for who you are.
God of exceeding.
Control right now of circumstances that we don't know how to solve. Lord, we just worship you right now in this place, the God of exceedingly, the God of abundantly, the one who can part the water still today, the one who can raise the dead still today, the one who can shut the mouth of lions. Those attacks, they are null and void right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We believe in your saving power, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, just declare the word with me again. Make way through the waters. Walk me through the fire. Do what you are famous for.
What you are famous for.
Shut the mouth of lions. Bring dry bones to life. And
do what you are famous for.
What you are famous for. Make way through the waters. Walk me through the fire.
Do what you are famous for.
What you are famous for. Shut the mouth of lions. Bring dry bones to life. And do what you are famous for. What you are famous for.
God of exceedingly, God of abundantly, more than we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail. Your name is powerful, your word's unstoppable. All things are possible in you, God of exceeding.
Jesus, we just want you to know this morning how much we love you. We need you, God. Lord, we're not ashamed to say at all how much we need you. Jesus, we not only need you, we love you. God, we today just declare that you are God and that you deserve all the glory that's in our lives. Hallelujah, Jesus, we honor you. We honor you, Jesus. There's a female this morning, straight down below your belly button, like about 2 to 3 inches, you're having problems in your female organs. In the name of Jesus, I command right now healing to be released right now into your body. I just keep hearing endometriosis. In the name of Jesus, I curse that. I command right now, loose them right now in Jesus' name. I command the pain to cease and the cause to be rebuked in Jesus' name. There's another person in your left knee. It almost feels like you're going to give out backwards all the time. If that's you, just lay your hands on your knee in the name of Jesus. I command a reconstruction of the ligaments by the power of God. In Jesus' name, I call recreation right now. Yes, I know, they've been torn. I command them to be recreated right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command strength to come to that leg, that knee right now in Jesus' name. God, you are such a great King. We honor you this morning. We honor you this morning. You are worthy
to be.
We give you all. Release your anointing in this place in Jesus' name.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
On your right side, it's down on the end of your rib cage. Boy, it almost feels like it's not under the rib cage, it's on the rib cage. In Jesus' name, I speak health right now. God, if it's the ribs, I command right now the bones to be reconstructed and healed in Jesus' name. There it is right there. I speak to this spot, God, on this individual, wherever they are in the house, Lord, even watching by live stream, and I speak right now healing right now, right there, God. I command the pain and the root of it to be gone in Jesus' name. No more pain. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Go. Hallelujah. Someone's having problems with their right quad on the inner side, right about here. Not major pain, but it's just an irritation to you constantly. And you prayed about it often. In fact, when you get up in the morning, it's stiffer. And you've actually asked God multiple times for him to heal you. And today he's heard your prayer. And the answer is hitting your body even right now in Jesus' name. Someone's having pain behind their left eye. In Jesus' name, I speak to the cause of it. Lord, I don't know the cause. I don't understand it, but I do know the pain, and I speak to the pain right now, and I speak to the root of it, and I command it right now to be healed in the name of Jesus. God, you don't reveal what you won't heal. So, God, we thank you so much. You love us. Signs and wonders, you said, shall follow the preaching of the word. Lord, some in this service think, well, they haven't even preached the word yet. Oh, I've been preaching. I preached already for 45 minutes, so I've been preaching already. Come on, whoever that left leg is, you need to start claiming that thing. Come on, lay hands on it. Start moving that leg around in Jesus' name. It's not loosened up yet. I can still feel it. There it goes, right there. Go. Come on. Move it off. If you move it, pivot it right now to the left side. That's where you usually feel that. Come on. Pivot it right now. You'll feel the healing power of Jesus surge right through you in the name of Jesus. Jesus, today we only want to give you glory. You deserve it all because you're an awesome God. And we love you so much. So much, Jesus. Hallelujah. The anointing's starting to build. No. In the name of Jesus. More, God, more. In Jesus' name. We draw on that anointing in the name of Jesus. We draw on your presence, Jesus. God, there are people here that need you. They need your touch, Jesus. They just need freshness come upon you. In the name of Jesus. Love you. It amazes me, Lord Jesus, how different each one is. We just want your purposes and your plans to be completed. Whatever your will is, God, that's what we want to yield to. Sometimes I don't understand, so I'll just describing it. And this is different from the other individual below the belly button. It's almost like someone's pushing. Where are you? Right there. Pushing. And you can feel the pressure from hip to hip. Right there. In the name of Jesus, God, I don't understand and I can't explain. But Lord, I know it's not mine. Whomever that individual is in the room, in the name of Jesus, or even by live stream, be anointed. Right in the small of the back, right where the hips hit, right here. Right there. That you just start bending over right now, you'll feel the release of God's Spirit. God is rebuilding a disc right now in Jesus' name. I command it to be rebuilt, Father. Lord, not healed, Lord, rebuilt, brand new, in Jesus' name. Deposited from heaven right now. I speak right now to the discs. I command you to reinflate. I command you to be re-energized. I command right now, bulge, push, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Right ankle inside, more towards the heel. Goes up right about there, sock level. And it's just that it almost feels like when someone has shin splints. But in the name of Jesus, I'm not sure what it is. All I know is what I feel. God, I just thank you that, Lord Jesus, if you're revealing it, you're healing it right now, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, you're restoring that in their body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yep, God heard somebody. It's your right shoulder. It is on the outside of the shoulder, right? Right, where are you? There it is, right there. Right there. No, where are you? There you go. Right there. In Jesus' name, I command healing into the right shoulder by the power of Jesus' name. Go. In Jesus' name. It actually makes your arm weak. God is restoring your strength. Hallelujah. Someone's having problems breathing. When it breathes, it's almost like you have to labor, and it almost feels like your rib cages are pushed in and you're having problems breathing out. I release it right now in Jesus' name. I unbuckle right now in Jesus' name. I command the release in the Spirit. Father, they may breathe freely with no restrictions in the name of Jesus. God, you're just so good. Lord, we need you. Father, you love your family. If we earthly parents know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more you know how to give good gifts to us? Lord, you know sickness is no fun. You know Jesus' pain is no fun. So God, I thank you that this morning, if you'll heal one, you'll heal them all. Jesus, when you went into a crowd, you healed all that were there. Lord, we declare that what we need individually, as we talk to you right now, heaven's deposit will be released. Even God, recreation. God, we call forth creative miracles in the name of Jesus. I'm reminded, Father, of that time that the man had pins in his ankle, Lord, and you revealed it. And you released those pins even. Took those pins out. There's nothing impossible for you, Father. I remember the brain tumor, God, you took out. We give you the glory for it. God, I remind you, Jesus, of the people that couldn't breathe. They had to have the breathing apparatus. That, Lord, you healed their lungs in Jesus' name. Lord, the deaf ears, we give you praise. The blinded eyes, we give you honor, God. Only you, Jesus. Only you. The inside of the right here in the right hip, right down the crevice. More on the top than on the bottom. I don't know. That almost says to me artery. In Jesus' name, I just speak to that portion of the body. Lord, I command right now any bulge in the artery to be healed in the name of Jesus. God, strengthen the walls of the artery for the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. I love you. Why don't you welcome five or six folks this morning? Welcome. How are you? I love you. You always make me smile. You know what's really cool is looking at your mom and your dad and seeing the legacy that they have created with your family. It's awesome. Hi, baby girl.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How's everybody doing this morning? I hope you're able to meet at least one person you did not know. If you met one person you do not know, can I see you just lift up your hand? Awesome. Wow, that's a lot of people. Well, praise God. Well, welcome to our 11 a.m. service. I pray you at least had one hello or so. Isn't God so good? Wasn't worship amazing? Okay, all four of y'all. Wasn't worship amazing? Thank you, Mama Jen. We love to be in the presence of the Lord. The Bible declares, I was glad when it said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we are so glad to be here. It is a privilege and an honor for us to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. At this time, we want to say thank you so much to our first-time guests. If this is your first time here to come to our church, can I see you just lift up your hands like this? This is your first time. Awesome. Put your hands together for our first-time guests. I believe that we're right over here. If you did not receive a guest packet yet, just slip your hand right back up. We're going to get that to you right now. We also want to invite you out to our guest reception. It's going to be on this side of our church building right after church. There will be signs right there. You cannot miss it. Want to say once again, thank you so much for coming to worship with us. Want to welcome our live stream family as well. You guys can put your hands together for them. Awesome. I have two quick announcements for you. It is a privilege to serve in the house of the Lord. Amen. You should be serving. You should be involved. We are a family, and we serve our family. So there are two serving opportunities for you. If you would like to join our hospitality team, oh, bless the Lord Almighty. Not that person, okay? But if you'd like to join our hospitality team, we have our Empower Summit that is coming up in 2 weeks. So there will be a meeting this coming Saturday on March 7th at 10 a.m. So please see Brittany Gilbert or Tammy Odell for more details. Or you can go out to our info center out front. And also we have an opportunity for you to serve in our Matthew 25 team. People that have kitchen experience that like to be helping out on Thursday evening. So if any of those, if the Spirit of God is speaking to you, please go see one of those people and get signed up. Again, it is a privilege to serve the kingdom of God. Amen? All right, we have some video announcements for you.
The deliverer, the provider, the baptizer, the waymaker, the door opener, the cancer rebuker, the child saver, the marriage restorer, the waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. He quickens my mortal body. I have to be spirit-led.
The church is not weak. The church is powerful. The supernatural church is unstoppable.
You can go through some things during the week that will try to put out your fire. But God says, don't worry. I got enough sticks to keep your fire burning.
Easter's right around the corner, guys, and you know what that means. The biggest and best Easter egg hunt this area has ever seen. We're looking to collect 50,000 Easter eggs to stuff them so the kids can find them at all three of our campuses. Here's how you can help. Buy empty Easter plastic eggs and a whole bunch of candy. Drop them off by the kids' desk at each campus. We'll get them stuffed and we'll get them hid for the kids to find out on the field that day. Thank you so much.
Amen. We have some phenomenal events coming up. Empower Summit is going to be so great. Easter is going to be phenomenal. 50,000 eggs. So you guys want to make sure that you are watching social media and our website for all those details. Amen. How about you just come and talk about it? Because you seem very, very excited. And this is your church. So go ahead.
Brother Ted Shuttlesworth is going to be with us. He's going to be with us. Resurrection. It's Good Friday. Friday night, Saturday night, we're only going to have one service on Sunday morning on Easter at 10 a.m. And then Sunday night, let me tell you, I have never seen the signs and wonders to the capacity that I've seen with him moving in them. So I want to encourage you, start inviting your friends that are sick, diseased. In this last service, I just watched blind eye open. The lady been blind since birth. God opened her eyes. They closed it off. She was actually able to do exactly what Brother Ted was doing. And a person born deaf, never heard. Ears popped open. People that were lame being able to walk. Listen, God wants you healed. God wants you healthy. Can I hear an amen? So I'd encourage you to be here. Make sure you start inviting your friends for Easter weekend.
Amen. Amen.
you want to make sure you get here early that Sunday.
Yes, you do.
Your seats may not be available for you. Amen? All right, so at this time, we want to enter into our time of tithes and offering. This is actually a continuation of our time of worship. No, this is great and the word is great, but when you give, that is worship as well. So there should be an envelope in your seat. If you don't have one, slip your hands up. Our ushers will get that to you. And while they do that, while you are preparing that, I want to share with you two passages of scripture. The first one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where the Bible declares that God loves a cheerful giver and that we get to give. We don't have to. It is a choice that we make. It was a choice to come here today. It was a choice for us to worship, and we have that opportunity to give today. We'll get to that soon. And then the second one is in Genesis chapter 4. It's a story about Cain and Abel, where they both gave an offering, but only one was pleasing and acceptable to the Lord. So when you begin to combine those two, it gives us this insight that when we give, it's about both position and preparation. Right now, we have to position our hearts, position our minds, position our spirits for us to give. We are to give cheerfully. We're to give how? We're to give how? It is a choice. So independent of how your day was, how your week was, we make the choice to love. We make the choice to have joy. We make the choice to be cheerful. It is not an emotion. It is a decision that will be indicative to heaven of the position of our heart. And then in terms of Genesis chapter 4, how we will present our offerings to the Lord. We want to give him the best and not what is left over. I'm going to throw my wife underneath the bus real quickly. So yesterday, she went to Rochester with both of our boys, and she stopped at Chick-fil-A, which is the will of God. And she came back and wanted to offer me some leftover chicken nuggets. It wasn't even a 12-piece. I did not get my spicy chicken sandwich with pepper jack cheese and pickles and bacon. I did not get that. I got leftover chicken nuggets. I did not like that presentation, but I love her and I have to live with her, so I just let it go. But in terms of how we present to the Lord, you go read that story, and Abel gave half chicken nuggets. And but we want to ensure that we are giving God the best presentation today. It is not about the most. It's about your best. So I want to encourage you today from Genesis chapter 4, your presentation of your offering. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the position of your heart as you give. And as you begin to combine both of those, every blessing God has in his word will be unlocked for you as you give. Amen? If you're ready to give, you can stand up to your feet. If you like to give via text like I do, we should have those up on the screen for you very soon. But here at our church, we make a supernatural declaration over our giving. We believe that we can speak life over our giving. The Bible declares power of life and death resides in our tongue. So we're going to speak life over what we give. We're going to begin to put a demand on heaven for every blessing to be released to us. Amen? Amen. So repeat after me. Say, if I obey, then I'm blessed going in. And I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings will chase me down. They'll trip me up. Because I'm a child of God. I said I'm a child of God. Now shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Amen. You could come down front and to drop off your offering. If you're watching online, hit that give button as well. Begin to position yourself, and with the appropriate position and preparation, God will unlock every promise he has for you in his word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I feel like praising him. I feel like praising him. Whoa. Praising him. Whoa, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like praising.
praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, good morning, everybody. I was wondering if you would give me some grace. One of our TV cameras is down, and so I can't do an intro in the room that we usually do. Do you mind if I do an intro? Is that all right? All right, so we're going to do an intro this morning. You ready? Who wants to do it with me? Nobody wants to do it with me. Okay, here we go. Ready? Does this look good? Yes. Are we ready in the back? You make sure I'm balanced. No. Can you tell them to make sure there's no echo?
No echo, echo.
Here we go. That doesn't work. Okay, here we go. I'm so nervous. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. My name is Pastor Michael Spencer, and you're watching His Word TV. We want to thank you for all these years for tuning in and allowing us to bless you with something that's alive. It's the Word of God, living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So today, as you're watching, I want you to realize that there is a difference between the natural and the supernatural. You probably watched last week's telecast. This is week 2. So if you didn't, make sure you jump on our YouTube page, on our website, and jump into the archives and continue to grow in Jesus. Come on now, let's get to the main sanctuary. Let's hear the Word of God. Someone's supposed to say cut. Cut! Thank you very much. All right, here we go. So much pressure. Here we go, one more time. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That's right. The truth is that the supernatural is more real than the natural. So today, if you're watching this telecast and you're just thinking being religious is going to make it, it's not. You need Christ as your personal Savior. You need Jesus to wash your sins away. The Bible says without Christ, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. But Christ wants to make you alive in Him. So right now, I challenge you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Let's pray together right out loud. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, that means you got to say it. The Bible says also, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So right now, why don't we pray right out loud together? Can we all pray together? You're in the main sanctuary, by the way. Are you ready to pray? Yes. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for calling me. Today, I'm responding. I know I'm a sinner. I know I need my sins forgiven. And today, I'm making a conscious decision. I choose you. Wash my sins away. Make me a new person. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Change my life. I submit to you, Jesus. And I declare that you are my Savior and my King. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Someone just gave their heart to the Lord right online. Come on now, if you did that, we have a Bible for you. I want to encourage you. You need to get down here, 1616 Level Acres Drive, right here, 9 or 11 every Sunday morning, or 609 West Clinton Street, 9 and 11, or in Mansfield. Don't forget, we also have an 11 o'clock service right down on Lambs Creek Road. Come on now, we'll see you in just a little bit. All right. Boy, I always get so nervous with those. I'm excited that you're in the house of God. First service was very unique at His tabernacle. First service, the anointing was probably the strongest it has ever been in any of the services we've ever had here. And I know, you know, I always pray, God, can you make it the same in second? But you know what's interesting is it's not the same. And really, I want to encourage you, if you can make both services, man, I want you to know, sometimes first service is so strong, and second service is not as strong, and then sometimes second service is overpowering, and first service we're just not sure of. But this I want you to know, that Jesus has a great plan for your life today, amen? This is the year of... Shout unstoppable! The supernatural church. Come on, say it again. Unstoppable. The supernatural church. Which also means you can be stoppable. See, and that's the key that we want to make sure. It's not just how you start, it's how you end. Man, I can't tell you how many people I have known over the years, been doing this 33 years, and even when this church launched 22 years ago, how many people have walked to the front of the altar and given their hearts to Jesus? I'm talking a genuine conversion.
But yet over time, they slowly walked away from the Lord. They slowly were beguiled by the enemy and drawn back into what was once their master and now again is. I want you to recognize that God has a plan for you, not just to start this race, but like Paul, finish it strong. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, I'm a finisher. That's right, man. God wants you to finish this race all the way. Our challenge is that so many of us as believers, because of the lack of teaching, for my people perish for the lack of knowledge, so many of us have stopped learning about the supernatural. The truth is this, is what you cannot see is more real than what you can see. The Bible says, don't focus on the things which you cannot see, what you can see, for they are temporal. But the things which you cannot see, for they are temporal. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Many of us live this life not by faith, but we live this life by sight. So many of us are living by the natural, and the fact is that the natural cannot change the supernatural, but the supernatural can change the natural. So as believers, what happens is we get into this mode where we live more by our nature or by our flesh than we do by the Spirit. The Bible says that if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What God wants us to do is learn how to live successfully as a believer, to become truly unstoppable. No matter what weapon is formed against you, it cannot prosper unless you allow it to. No matter what the devil throws at you, you don't have to be stoppable. You are unstoppable and more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord. But the key is understanding. So many of us have a lack of understanding of who God is, a lack of understanding of truly the difference between the natural and the supernatural. And when you got born again, turn to someone and say, I'm born again. When you got born again, the Bible says that you transpose, you change. You went from darkness into light. You went from death into life. That the moment you gave your heart to Jesus, the Spirit of God came and dwelled inside. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You see, there is a transition that happened. This is not about religion. This is about transition. That now you are a true dual citizen. You're the citizen, yes, here, occupy till he comes. But you are also a citizen of heaven, which means that when you became born again, you became a son and a daughter, a true citizen of heaven. Therefore, we walk by faith and not by sight. That we can change our natural by the supernatural. But you can't change your natural by the supernatural if you don't understand how the supernatural works. The Bible says, we talked about it already, how we must walk in the supernatural power of God because that's who we are. You are a supernatural person. The fact is that every one of us in this room are going to live forever. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. God is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three yet one. And what God did when he created us as spirit, soul, and body, humans, every human being has an eternal destiny. Now, God doesn't determine that destiny, even though God's foreknowledge knows your final choice. But God has given each one of us this privilege and this opportunity to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, so therefore we can be saved. Our sins can be washed away. We become that new creature in Christ Jesus. We have a destiny and a purpose and a design that God foreordained before he ever said, let there be light, and there was light. All of this transitions when we become saved. And we go from being just a natural person, being governed by this natural world, and by the love of our Father. I want you to know when you're not born again, the Bible says your father is the devil. Well, I've never run around a pentagram once. It doesn't matter whether you're running around a pentagram naked, sacrificing children in the middle. Fact is that when you're not serving God, you're serving your father, the devil. That's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As a believer, we have changed and we have graduated or we have changed and transitioned into making God our Father. In this, we become supernatural beings with understanding, not with ignorance. Because my people perish for lack of knowledge, what ends up happening is a lot of people have a concept of what's supposed to happen, but never live the way God's plan is. We deduce what we want to deduce that makes us comfortable, but we never walk in the laws and the precepts of God that make us successful. You can live one way and never truly achieve God's plan for your life, or you can live God's way and know that you're going to achieve God's plan for your life. All of this does not come by
God's hand. This comes by our hand applying what God has already given us. As Christians, as sons and daughters of God, as citizens of heaven, we've got to wrap ourselves around that our lives are no longer just governed by the natural process, by the demonic spirits, but we are literally governed by the Spirit of God. For these are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. For the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. We are literally and have the privilege of being led by the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us since we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We now have the ability to understand spiritual, supernatural principles, therefore walking in success with them instead of always being tethered by the natural man. When this envelops in our spiritual man, there is an apocalypsis, there is an unveiling, there is a revelation. And that is that no longer do I have to live according to what's in front of me, for I walk by faith and not by sight. Come on now, I walk by faith and not by sight. That we can learn how to live successful through the Word of God and see God's principles that are yea and amen come to fruition in our lives. Our verse for the year is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, and it says this: "And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I rely only upon the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would not trust in human wisdom, but in the power of God." Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, in the Passion Translation: "Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and the principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and the power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph, for he was not their prisoner, but they were his." Today I want to talk about the two main rulers in the spirit realm. There are not three, there are not six, there are only two main rulers in the spirit realm. Now the problem is, if you don't understand that, understand how they work, then many times you can become beguiled or confused and attribute something of the devil to God. Just recently I was on Facebook and someone had posted that they were, I have 5,000 friends, so I don't know who everybody is, but they had posted that they had a psychic party at their house and they had an open spot for somebody. And I went private message and I said, I just want to remind, because I don't know if they came to the church or not, just want to remind you that that is demonic, that is not from God. And I gave the verses, the multiple verses in the scripture that condemn psychics and condemn what they do, knowing that their power comes from Satan and not from God. And so that person just simply wrote back to me and said, "Well, I don't believe that." And you know, that's nice that they don't believe that, but it doesn't change the truth. She could believe without any question that, in fact, I heard somebody say not too long ago, when I was talking about Reiki, and they were talking about Reiki powers and how Reiki powers are nice and how they're good. They do good things for people. It's almost like white magic. I'm talking, there's only one kind of magic, and that's the magic that comes from Satan. Can I hear an amen? And so I said to them, you know, that's not God. That is a counterfeit that was generated by a Buddhist priest out of Japan. And I gave the dates, I gave the background. And this person simply said, "Well, I don't believe that. It's good stuff. It's like stuff that comes from God." And I said, "No, I'm sorry, it's not true." So many people attribute the works of the enemy to the works of God, or vice versa. And we've got to have an understanding why. Because if we're going to walk successful in this year of the supernatural church, can I hear an amen? Then we've got to represent God correctly. We've got to make sure that we're not going to be beguiled. We've got to make sure that we're not going to be confused. We've got to make sure that we understand. Revelation is everything. We've got to have the eyes of our understanding opened up so we understand how God works, how God moves. So when we lay hands on the sick under the name of Jesus Christ, can I hear an amen? That we're not using a counterfeit. There's a time to know how God works. And in the spirit realm, there are two main rulers. One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who said, "Let there be," and there was. They're one and true and the only God. He is the one that's seated on the throne. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And the other, his name is Lucifer or Satan. These are the two main rulers in the spirit realm. There's not three. You're not one of them. Amen. Only two. So there's only two masters. There's only two, one that you choose and one that you don't. You can't serve both. You can't serve both. You either serve one master or you serve the other. It's a tough one this morning, eh? Here we go. You can't serve both Satan and God. Amen. You can't serve God, the King of Kings, and also serve Lucifer. Amen. You serve one or the other. Amen. Period. Amen. This is the challenge with the body of Christ because we want to be relative. We don't want to scare anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to tell them that they're wrong. I'm sorry. There are absolutes in this world. I said there are absolutes in this world. And there are absolutes, especially in the spirit realm. There are certain things that God allows and certain things that God does not allow. But if you don't know God, you don't know his word, you don't know the Constitution, you don't know his precepts, then what happens is many times, inadvertently, you'll cross over into the demonic realm, pander and play with it for a while, and then say it's God. And that's where we've got to have understanding. Can I hear an amen? Next week, we're going to actually be preaching on how to show and what to see, how to identify demonic activity in a person's life. I didn't even get one amen on that one. That's all right. I told you this year is going to be really different. I think we've done a good amount of playing in the sand. Now it's time to do some digging. If we're going to truly make a change in this region, it's not going to happen because we're a nice group of people that meet in a cornfield on Sundays. It's going to be because we're out in the world and we have the answer. His name is Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And that in your hands, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And the Bible declares in verse 20, and God worked with them, confirming his word with signs and wonders following. The problem is, if you can't tell the difference between God and or Satan, then how do you know which one you're serving? Who is God? God is a spirit, John chapter 4, verse 24, which means not God is not a man. God's not your buddy. Well, you know, I just want God to be my friend. Listen now, Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends, John chapter 15. But I want you to recognize that, yes, Jesus is our friend, but God the Father is still holy. Can I hear an amen? That God is still God. You are not. That God is still the King. Man, I want you to realize that there's always a different revelation when you have a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember when Jesus called John? He was fishing on his boat. He called him and said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And John walked with him for 3 years and spent time with Jesus. In fact, he was called Christ's beloved. You know, they had an actual deeper friendship than some of the other even disciples that were there. And in that, John had a great revelation of who Jesus was. Talked with him, walked with him. The Messiah was walking amongst him. But yet, when that day they went to the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus transitioned supernaturally and showed a portion of his glory, John saw something different about Jesus. And his reaction was different about Jesus. And then even one more depth. And that was on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation chapter 1. All of a sudden, John was there and Jesus appeared to him in his completely glorified body. And what happened on that day? John fell on his face as like he was dead. And Jesus looked at him and said, fear not, John, it is I. But you see, he saw Jesus in a different revelation. He saw Jesus in a different manifestation. He saw Jesus in a deeper supernatural realm. And in that, there comes an explosion on your fleshly nature. And that is, there is a complete submission, and God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. This is not about you and I joining a religion. Religion has always brought death. Jesus said, I have somewhat against you. He said, you have left your first love. People who have left their first love, they live in a religion. They think they're okay because they go to church. They're okay because they're a good person. They're okay because they got a nice heart. I want you to know, that if you don't confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him to the dead, you can't be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way to go to heaven but through Jesus Christ. You see, I don't care how nice you are, even sincere people are going to go to hell. Can I hear an amen? And not because God sent them, but because somebody has to pay for sins, and they chose to pay for them themselves. God is love. Well, you just said that people go to hell. How can a God that loves send anybody to hell? He doesn't. God doesn't want anybody to hell. The Bible says that the only reason that Christ hasn't returned yet is he wills that not one should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but everlasting life. For God gave his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. God's passion is seeing you and I become citizens of heaven, friends of God, glorifying in relationship with God, to where now he knows us. We are truly in relationship as sons and daughters to the Most High. But man, that love means everything, because in love there are different facets. I remember disciplining my children because I love them. You ever met somebody who didn't love their children, didn't discipline their children? Jesus, help us all. Come on, you met that child at the supermarket, screaming and throwing things, calling their moms and dads swear words because they didn't get what they wanted. Jesus, help us. We had Uncle Frank to help us with that one. Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. So we went out and bought a stick. Captain Bill's had a stick. We bought it. And it said, the attitude adjuster. And we named that stick Frank. Uncle Frank. So if we were out, you know, at the supermarket and they start acting up, we'd look at them and say, listen now, you don't want to go home and talk to Uncle Frank, do you? Couldn't get in trouble. But that's another part of love, is discipline. You've got to discipline. And God disciplines those whom he loves. He said, if you are not without discipline, then you're no more than a bastard. The fact is that the scripture is so clear in who God is. And as believers, we've got to know him, not just know about him. This is not about going to church. This is about knowing our God. God is our creator. Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 17. Nothing was created but by him. Psalms 24, 1 and 2. God is the owner of all things, even ourselves. Can I hear an amen? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. For he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it upon the ocean depths. Our God is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is none besides him. There is none above him. There is none around him. He is the one and the only. I am that I am. What I love about God is that God is all-powerful. That's right. He says in Revelations 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, says the Lord, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. What is impossible for man is possible with God. And you see, that's the great part about who the King we serve. You see, the world, there are many things that are impossible on this earth. There are many things that cannot be accomplished on this earth. There are barriers with our abilities on this earth. But with God, nothing is impossible. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He is all-powerful, which means he can open a blind eye. He can open the deaf ear, which means he can make the lame to walk. This morning, even Cole was telling me he's the person that had that across his stomach. And he had gone to the doctor, and the doctor said, there's really nothing we can do. We can't really find what's going on. You're just going to have to deal with it. But this morning, when I had the word of knowledge, God healed him right over there in his seat. Another individual, their back was healed. Another individual, their shoulder was healed. They came up to me telling me, how is that possible? Because God knows you, and he's all-powerful. What a doctor cannot do, Dr. Jesus can. Can I hear an amen? He is our great physician. Our God is all-powerful. Man, when they needed money to pay their taxes, they didn't have the money to pay their taxes. So Jesus told them to go fish. Go fish. What do you mean, go fish? He said, go pull the first fish out, open its mouth, and there'll be a coin in its mouth that will pay all of the people's taxes that we need to be paid. I want you to know your financial miracle. There is nothing impossible for God. When the banks say they're going to close it out, God is able to do abundantly above all you can even ask and or imagine. There is nothing impossible with our God. He is all-powerful. Our God is also all-knowing. Isn't that cool? Well, that can be and not be. God knows what we think. He knows the intentions of our hearts. Psalms 139, 1 through 3, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. Oh, Jesus. You know when I sit down, you know when I stand up, you know my thoughts, even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. Jesus is all-knowing. He knows everything. Listen now, the problems that come into your life, you might think it surprised Jesus. It didn't. He knows all things. There's nothing that surprises God. He knows our end from our beginning, and God is absolutely able to even thwart the work of the enemy and or cause us to go through and we'll come out without smelling like smoke. Are you out there this morning? You're awful quiet. My God is also always present. Now, again, that's good for people and also bad for people. Some of you taking Jesus on some places that he didn't really want to go to. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Some of you took him to the bar with you. Listen now, can you imagine if the preacher hung out with you for a week? Do you know there are places that you wouldn't go? I pray there are places you wouldn't take me. But the fact is that you carry Christ. When you're born again, you become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Literally, God dwells inside of you. Some of us have taken God places that he just does not want to go. Take us on adventures he did not want to participate with. Can I hear an amen? Amen. God is everywhere at one time. He's all present. That's Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. So God is the number one power in the spiritual realm. The other one are angels. God has angels that work for him. Now, I wanted to explain something. Angels were never created to be worshipped. The only job of an angel is to serve. The only job of an angel is not to bring glory to their name. It only brings glory to God's name. And angels are powerful. The Bible says that, if you remember, when Balaam was going to go curse the children of Israel and his donkey stopped. That's good preaching right there. Donkey stopped and the donkey got freaked out. Why? Because the donkey was able to see the angel. And the angel had a sword that was going to split its head. And the donkey was smart enough to stop. Amen? Isn't that a good thing? You know, how many of you love the Lord this morning in the room? Amen. If you love Jesus, the Bible says that his angels encamp around you. They say angels are around 9 to 10 feet tall. Can you imagine how many angels are stuffed in this room right now? You can't see them, but they're real. They're more real than the chair you're sitting on. Why? Because the temporal is going to soon disappear, but the eternal will never disappear because what you cannot see is more real than what you can see. Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, therefore angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who inherit salvation. In fact, that's the exciting part. Angels actually are sent to work for us. I love this stuff because when you start realizing this is not fictitious, this is not some Star Trek story, but this literally is how you and I live because we walk by the Spirit. We walk in the things of God. This is a spiritual world. Listen, it's amazing to me. How many people believe in the devil? How many people believe in the spirits? But when you start talking about God, the Christians start getting nervous. When you start talking about the supernatural, the Christians, man, I don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. I'm telling you right now, God wants you to understand who he is, wants you to understand how he works, wants you to understand how he thinks, wants you to understand how he acts, so that you can tell the difference between him and Lucifer. The other main player is Satan. Now I want you to hear me real quickly. There is no battle between Satan and God. Satan is not God's adversary. Satan is already defeated. Amen. Satan was a created creature. The Bible says there were three archangels. One of them, his name was Michael. He was the warring angel. Then you have Gabriel. He is the messenger angel. And then the third angel, his name was Lucifer, son of the morning. And his job was worship. Man, I didn't say he played worship. I said he was worship. When you start studying his body, when you start studying how God created him, when Lucifer moved in heaven, it created music. It created worship. His whole job was to bring glory to God. But then one day something happened. Now, we don't know all the details. The scripture doesn't break it down completely. But we know that angels seem to have had one shot, one choice to make a decision who they were going to serve. And one day, Lucifer made a decision. He said, I am going to do something. He said, Isaiah 14:13-14, for you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and set my throne above God's stars. I will preside on the mountain of the gods far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens and be like the Most High God. Satan made a decision one day. He said, I'm going to rebel. He said, I'm going to be God. I'm going to make myself greater than God. I'm going to raise myself above God. And I want you to realize that whenever you see rebellion, come on now, whenever you see rebellion, whenever you see pride, you can always identify a demon on the action. Pride and rebellion are always from the seat of Satan. When you start understanding the spirit realm, you start understanding the diabolical, when you start understanding the demonic realms, the one thing you can truly grasp and wrap your head around quite quickly is that whenever you start seeing rebellion and pride, whenever you start seeing somebody trying to destroy somebody else to raise himself up, you'll always see a demon spirit active on scene. What's amazing is Lucifer wasn't the only one who rose up. The Bible says that one third of the stars of heaven, that means one third of all angels, decided that they were going to follow Satan rather than stay with God. And so all of a sudden in one day, one third of all the angels, we now call them demon spirits. Demon spirits are not disembodied people. Many people say, well, I have a poltergeist moving things around in my house. No, that's a demon spirit. Well, you know, I went to a psychic once and they told me, you know, things from my past and what I was thinking in my future. Exactly. That's a demon spirit. Just like there's only one God and there's only one Satan. Power either comes from God the Father or comes from Satan himself. Until you grasp that, then you'll start attributing things. And that's why people struggle when you start talking about psychics and you start talking about witchcraft and you start talking about Reiki and you start talking about these other activities that are very spiritual and wondering why they're not God. They'll say, well, you know, I heard from God, little g. I heard from little God, and this is what your relative wanted to hear. Listen, the only time in the scripture that you see somebody doing that was when Saul went to the witch of Endor and conjured up a demon spirit, and that demon spirit took on the likeness of Samuel, and God at that moment took away the anointing from Saul because we went to a witch instead of going to the kingdom. But if you and I don't understand this and we play with demonic spirits and we don't understand, we allow demons to be active in our lives, we don't understand it. But if you understand, then you can immediately take authority. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When you understand spiritual principles, you understand how demons work, you understand how angels work, you understand how God works, you understand how Satan works, then you can divide it and not be beguiled and be able to walk in the spirit and truly see success in your lifestyle. Amen. I'll say amen myself. Satan was one who's very organized. He's not running around in chaos. He creates chaos. But there is no chaos in the kingdom of Satan. Just like there's no chaos, I want to remind you what Satan does. He always counterfeits what God did because he's not his own creator. So whatever he saw God do in heaven, he's now establishing or has established in hell when it comes to organization. The Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of rulers of darkness. And he starts going through the principalities and the powers and the rulers of spiritual darkness, the different levels of spiritual activity that are happening. You see, there are demons that deal with just running around doing stupid little things. And then there are demons that will actually be over a nation, and demons that will be over a city, and demons that will be over rulers. Man, we know how powerful this is, because we've actually been able to see even in our own nation. Now, like, let's be real, even in our own state, we see that killing babies is now more than legalized. It's more than okay. We're more upset about a bag being putting groceries in than we are a child being killed. We fight not against flesh and blood. That is a spiritual thing that's going on. Why? Because we saw this already with Herod. We saw this already with Moses trying to kill a generation. This is not a strange thing. This is not a new thing. The devil has nothing new. But if you don't understand, you don't comprehend, you don't have a realization of how the demonic works and how God works, then what happens is you confuse the both. The devil's very clear. He only has one task: to steal, kill, and destroy. Say it with me. The devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Now listen, he doesn't always do that with a big rod. The Bible says he's an angel of light. He'll come in giving you nice things. He'll come in being nice to you. He'll come in giving you nice things to sucker you out of the kingdom of God. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? It's amazing to me, as I've watched over the years of pastoring, I've watched people literally, they exchange their relationship with Jesus because the enemy comes in and offers them a male or female counterpart. A boyfriend or girlfriend. They'll walk away from God for a boyfriend or girlfriend. They'll walk away from God for a few extra bucks on a Sunday paycheck. They'll walk away from God because, you know, they're drawn back by their friends back into the bars. I've watched time and time again, they'll walk away from God because they take an offense on in a church. I've watched people as the enemy has worked so deeply in their lives and disconnected them from their eternity. I want you to realize Jesus didn't save you to be saved just on this planet. God's plan for you is to be sonship and daughtership all the way to where you graduate into the kingdom of God, into the heavens, to where there you will be with Christ for all of eternity. But the enemy of your soul wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. And the greatest way he does that is by beguiling you. He tries to confuse you. He tries to get you to accept something that is from him as from God. Therefore, you get hurt, you get upset, and you walk away. See, Satan is very weak. The Bible says he's not all-knowing. He doesn't know everything. In fact, the only thing he knows from you is what you tell him. If I'm not feeling good, I don't get up that morning and go, well, I just feel like crap. I don't tell anybody. I just start declaring the word of the Lord over my life because the word is above what I'm feeling. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus declared, I am the word and the truth. The truth will make you free. Who is the truth? The word is the truth. Who is the word? Christ is the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. It's time to recognize that the word is living, quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and the spirit and the bone and the marrow as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's important to recognize that we are not weak, but we are strong. And even when we are weak, he is strong in us. The enemy is not all knowing. He doesn't know. He only knows what you tell him. He's not all present. We used to have a worship leader. He was so funny. He would get up on a Sunday night and he would say, well, you know, the devil's been after me all week long. One day I took him aside and said, you are really important. And he said, what do you mean by that? I said, if Satan himself is visiting you, you are an important person. Please pray for me. He said, what do you mean, Pastor? I said, Satan can only be at one place at one time. He's got one third of the angels that followed him. Maybe a demon's been bothering you, but Satan himself is not coming knocking on your door because he's awful busy on the higher end of the echelon and trying to bring the world system into play to where the Antichrist come on the scene and the great tribulation will happen. And we can talk through all the things that happened during that period of time. Satan is not all powerful. Satan cannot be all present. Satan is not all knowing. Satan is absolutely 100% already defeated upon the believer's life. Whenever you see the rebellion, division, and pride, you can always tell Satan is on the scene. James chapter 3, 14 through 16 says this, and if you are bitterly jealous and there is a selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unscriptural, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. The truth is that Satan so desperately wants to start bringing confusion to your life, bringing chaos to your life. The Bible says that God is the God of order and that Satan is the God of chaos and disorder. And when you and I recognize this, the moment disorder comes in our life, the moment chaos comes in our life, we don't have to say, God, what's going on? Where are you? We automatically know that a diabolical attack has come against our life, that an assignment has been issued against us. And after we've done all we can do to stand, we can stand there for. Jesus said in the book of Luke, I've given you all authority over the power of the devil. Sometimes we attribute what's natural to the devil, but sometimes we attribute what's natural that isn't natural. It truly is of the devil. You cannot pray out a devil. The only thing to do is cast out a devil. And as believers, we can bind the enemy from attacking our lives. For what is bound on earth is bound in heaven. And the authority that is given us over every demonic spirit, even Satan himself, is subject to us in Jesus' name. That we have to be wise and understand how this process works, because he's given us absolute victory over the workings of the devil. You are not weak. God has given you absolute victory over Satan himself. As a believer, you and I need to know this, but we need to understand that there is only one God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jehovah. He is Adonai. The other player is Lucifer, and he's as real as God is. And his plans are as valid as God's, just the opposite. We've got to have a new level of discernment, especially in these last days, as the enemy is going to try to come and destroy people. The Bible says in the last days that even the elect will be deceived. What does that mean? That those who once served God, that had a knowledge of God, that moved in the power of God, how many times have we seen it with television evangelists and television pastors? Man, they pastored a large church. They did a large ministry. God used them in large ways. And then slowly they slid away and they actually recanted their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the elect being deceived. The only way to protect yourself of that is to be able to understand how the enemy works in people's lives. How you and I have authority over him, that he cannot supersede God, that he's not more powerful than God, and God dwells inside of you, and that no matter what weapon is formed against you, it cannot prosper. And when the enemy comes in one way, he's going to have to flee seven ways. And as a son and daughter of God, we have the authority over all the workings of the devil. But if you can't identify it, and you attribute something that's of the devil to God, then you're going to be deceived. There's a few of those in the scripture. One's name is Judas. Let me tell you, Judas wasn't this evil guy running around just always being evil. He did have a problem with stealing. But this guy here, man, he walked with Jesus. He saw the miracles of Jesus. He heard Christ teach in all those different elements. Jesus even washed his feet. But he sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver. How many people I've seen sell Christ for 30 pieces of silver is innumerable in my years of ministry. Another man's name was Demas. He was with Paul. Come on now, we're not talking about some guy, some schmuck guy. We're talking about Paul the Apostle. We're talking about he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Jesus trained him personally in the desert of Arabia for 3 years. Man, he was such a powerful man of the Spirit. God used him supernaturally. One boy fell asleep while Paul was preaching. He preached so long. Listen, I don't preach long compared to Paul. Paul was preaching so long, this boy fell asleep, fell out of a window, and died when he hit the ground. Paul just went down and rose the boy from the dead. Demas, all this stuff. But yet the Bible says that Demas has departed from me because he loved the world more than he loved the things of God. See, this is so powerful because you got to know that there's an assignment to disembark you from your relationship with Jesus. We're not fighting the devil. The Bible says in Timothy that we're fighting the good fight of faith. But you see, faith can be diminished when you attribute something that is not of God to God. You start getting discouraged. How could you do this to me, God? Where were you, God? I don't understand, God. And God's saying, I had nothing to do with that. You need to stand in the authority that I've given you and take authority over the power of the devil. Rebuke what the enemy has done and stand firm. And after you've done all you can do to stand, stand therefore, for you are strong and not weak, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I have made you more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, when you understand this, then you and I can't be beguiled. When we start seeing chaos, when we start seeing division, when we start seeing confusion, when we start seeing rebellion, when we start seeing these things that is the very essence of the nature of Lucifer and Luciferianism, then we sit back and we can identify, I know who you are, man. I know what you're up to, man. The one thing I know is you're not going to steal, kill, and destroy in my life. I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to resist you. And you got to flee. You got to run around. You got to run away like a dog tied with his tail tucked between his legs, because God has given me authority over you and all of your plans in the name of Jesus. There are only two players. There are only two rulers in the kingdom. In the spirit realm. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. I like him. Because he conquered the other one. You know, I always learn this. Go to the winning team. I was small growing up. I was 5'2" in the 10th grade. Weighed 115 pounds. I used to get made fun of a lot. They used to, you ever heard of a head squeeze? These seniors would come up to me. Each would get on a side and they'd push and they'd lift me off the ground. I was so small. The girls loved me though, and I was okay with that. One thing I learned was, even though you're small, if you understand your enemy, you don't have to be caught and get a head squeeze or a wedgie. Only got one of those. It only took one to learn. You learn to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You learn to identify the works of the demonic so that when they start manifesting in your life or when they start appearing, you don't sit back and say, God, where are you? For God has given you the authority over them. You start taking your spiritual stance. You put your shoulders back and your heads high. You clad yourself with the whole armor of God. You pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and you whoop on the devil, because he knows that the keys of death and hell have already been taken from him. He knows that Jesus made an open show and literally embarrassed him in the spirit realm. And Jesus said, I've given you that same authority. I've given you that same power. Stand in the power of my might, and everything that is planned against you will fall. Amen. See, when you understand this, you're no longer just a little Christianette walking on the earth. Well, I went to church this week. Well, the devil went to church too. Doesn't make him anything great. What makes you and I different is that God's given us an assignment. God's placed you at your workplace for a reason. God's placed you with your family for a reason. God's given you friends for a reason. He's given you friends so that you can seek and to save them which are lost, that you can show and teach them, you can bind and loose with them, that God will use you to bring in your friends to salvation. God's got a plan that you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God's got a plan that when a devil comes into your midst, they're going to have to shrink back and cry out like they did when Christ came into their presence. You have the authority over every devil in hell. But if you don't know, then you're just in that spiritual survival mode. And that's not God's plan for your life. You can't be more than a conqueror in survival. You're more than a conqueror because you understand the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. You become strong in the power of his might. Today, that's what I'm believing for in this house. We're going to reveal demonic activity in this house. We're going to reveal so that you can identify when you're out in the world, when you're at Walmart shopping. You'll be able to watch something and you'll go, whether that's spirit, whether that's flesh, or whether that's God. When you're driving down the street, spirit, God's spirit, the devil's spirit, or the flesh spirit. You can't understand them, then you can't work with them. If you don't understand them, then you cannot take authority over them. God's not called us to survive. Listen now. Paul said it very clearly. I've got a problem. He said, to die is gain. To die, if I die, and remember all the things that happened to him, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, a whole list of things that had happened to him in persecution. He said, if I die, then I've gained because I'm in his presence. But I'm going to stay here to help you. I'm going to help you understand how to be more than a conqueror. I don't know about you. I'm not interested in survival. I want to kick the devil in the teeth and fulfill God's destiny for my life. That when I stand before him, he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to be just some Christianette sitting in a chair saying, yep, that's my spot. I want to be a son of God that God can call on me day and night. And I'll obey him. I'll cast out a devil. I'll speak with new tongues. If I touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm me. And when I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I want the devils to know, Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? They're never going to say that because I'm going to be known in hell. How am I going to be known in hell? Because I'm known in heaven even more. When you're known in heaven, hell knows who you are, and they're afraid of you. Why? Because they know they've got a short time. Whenever you start seeing spiritual activity, raise up. Whenever you start seeing chaos, rise up. What you're actually doing is seeing the devil get spasmodic. He only gets spasmodic in the spirit realm when he recognizes that something is happening that he doesn't have control to stop. But you see, when the body of believers do not understand how to identify the spasmodic movements of the diabolical, then they sit back and they get distracted, and they no longer keep their eyes on Christ, the author and the finisher of their faith. And it's time to wrap up this thing, man. It's time to step back, put your shoulders back. Let's say, devil, you have no authority in my life. You have no authority in my family. You have no authority in my body. You have no authority. When you understand that, man, you'd live different. They'll call you cocky. They'll call you arrogant. They'll call you all those things. But really what it is that you're just confident in this thing that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm just a confident person. There are times I get shaken a little bit. I sometimes will allow myself to whine for a little bit. But man, then you got to get back up, get back in the Word, and get strong. Because when you know the Word, you'll never be changed. Father, I pray right now over this house, your house. They're not my church. It's your church. God, you've got a plan. Jesus, the rapture can happen before this day is over. There's nothing holding you back but your grace and your mercy. Lord, and we're here on this planet for an assignment. I pray in the name of Jesus that God, you'll put such a hunger and a desire in our heart to know you more, that God will recognize between you and any other activity that is happening around us, that God will understand your authority that you have given us as ambassadors, that God, you will understand the power, the release of the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage, that Lord Jesus, no matter who's around us, they'll be affected and afflicted in a powerful, supernatural way. God, we just thank you that you are a good God and greatly to be praised. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know something very clearly. You can't serve both God and the devil. You can't serve both God and mammon, which is money. You can't serve the natural and God himself. You've got to serve God. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you want him in your life, you want to start on this adventure. You want God to truly use your life to bring transition to the people around you. You want God's supernatural power to be released in your life. If this is you and you're not sure you're right with Jesus, you want to make sure you know God, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. I know I've watched people watch their watches. I've gone long, but that's all right. You'll be all right. You can sit with a Zig Ziglar conference for 8 hours and pay him $500. He didn't pay me a dime. It's the Word of God that will transform your life. You know, if you want Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to slide your hand. I'm going to count to five. 5, 4, 3. Get your hand up. 2. Last call and amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Brother Ted said to me one time, he said, there's going to come a place in your walk with life that what you used to tolerate, you're unwilling to tolerate any longer. Now, as a kid, I just looked at him and kind of chuckled. But you know, as you get older, it's true. There are just certain things you don't tolerate anymore. Certain things you're just not going to allow to happen anymore. And you know, in each one of our lives, we've got to come to one thing. I am not going to allow the work of the enemy to ever work in my life another day. I will not. He has no place in my life. And I will not tolerate him one iota. Father, I just release your anointing right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that you have called us, that Jesus, you have appointed us, and Lord, you have anointed us. That, Father, this week there are people that are going to be in our pathway that you're going to tell us to share the gospel with. We will. Lord, if there's anything that we're bound to, we break the power of the enemy in Jesus' name. God, no matter what addiction it may be, whether it be on television, Lord, whether it be a pornography, God, whether it be alcohol, whether it be cigarettes, God, whether it be some other paraphernalia, we declare in the name of Jesus, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We declare that no sickness has a right in our bodies in the name of Jesus. We cast off every disease. We cast off every sickness. We cast off every virus. God, we declare that, Lord Jesus, you healed us. You are Jehovah Rapha. And God, we thank you that we carry the greatest message, the only message that will set men free from their sins, and that is that Jesus came and died and rose from the dead, and he's coming back again. Jesus, use us to save the lost of this region. Use us amongst our friends to share the gospel. And God, let us be a people that will not compromise for no reason in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The prayer team's coming around the front of the altar. If you need prayer for anything, I'm going to have Mindy come on up here. If you didn't raise your hand for salvation, but you want to give your heart to Christ, I'd like you to meet Mindy right here, right now. I love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Live for Jesus. Don't compromise. Don't let the devil in your heart. We love you. Serve God.